Good morning, everyone. In the Siddur, there is a whole chunk in the morning that's printed that many people look at, gaze at, and say, oh, this is nice, but we skip it. Some people actually say it. Some people actually want to know why we say it. And that's what this year is going to be about. You see, after the Birkos HaShachar, that I'm pretty sure everyone here says, and wherever you say it, in shul or outside of shul, there's a whole chunk of davening. There's the Akedah, we won't talk about that today. Lalam Yehei Adam Yerei Shamayim, we won't talk about that part, the Shema Yisrael. What happens afterwards? Korbanot. By a raise of hands, without raising your hands and not embarrassing anyone around the table, how many of you actually say it?
The Korbanot.
The Korbanot are in every single Siddur I've seen. Even the Siddurs that already have taken out Piyutim and other such additions have left in the Korbanot. And yet, there are many, many Yeshuls and many, many people that don't say it. Now, we won't talk about why they don't say it, because quite frankly, I don't know. But I want to talk about why they do say it. So with your permission, let's talk about that. Korbanot are in the Siddur every day. Why do we say it? There's two possible reasons. That's right. Beautiful. The Gemara says as follows. This week's Parsha is Parshat Lech Lecha. Avram Avinu was promised the land of Israel. And Avram Avinu all becomes a skeptic. When God says you're going to have a son, your wife's almost 90, no problem, I believe in that. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him that you are going to get the land of Israel, he becomes a skeptic. Do you remember the words he uses? Bame'ida ki rashena. How do I know that I will be able to capture and conquer the land? When Avraham Avinu asks, how do I know I capture the land? Many of the Mefarshim on the Chumash say, how come he's not a skeptic about his son being born when he's such an old man? But when it comes to capturing the land of Israel, he is. What is the answer? The Gemara in Masechet Menachos, Daf Kuf Yud, which is the last page in Menachos, page 110, says that Avraham Avinu was asking a very simple question. I know, God, that when the Jewish people bring korbanot, bring the sacrifices before you, in merit of that, we'll have the land. But what happens when there's going to be the first and second destruction of the temple? Or, living in a time, you may be surprised to hear this, that there's no temple. Have you heard of such a time?
No.
Never. No. So the Gemara says at the end, Masechet Menachot, the following thing. The last daf in Menachot says, Zot HaTorah, La'ola ve'lamincha ve'lachatat u'lezevach ha'shlamim. Do you remember those words from somewhere? At the end of the dedication of the first temple in history, the tabernacle, known as the Mishkan, Parshat Shmini, it says, this is the Torah for the Korban Ola, Korban Chata, Korban Shlomim, etc. So the Gemara says that the simple, obvious shot of that pasuk is that this is the way to do it. But since it used the word Torah, says the Gemara at the end, Masechet Menachot, that as long as the Jewish people learn about Korbanot and say their Korbanot, in merit of that, they will make sure to have the land of Israel. So basically, the first reason why we say Korbanot in the morning is that it's in the Siddur. The second reason? Because we care about the land of Israel. So you may be a Zionist or not a Zionist, but hopefully you care about the land of Israel. If you care about the land of Israel, and you care that it stays in Jewish hands, says the Gemara, that the only way to do it without a dead temple is to do what?
It's to say.
It's to say the Korbanot. Or, to be more precise, learn about the Korbanot. So, at very least, we say it. So, the Gemara at the end of Masechet Menachot of Kuf Yud says, why do we say the Korbanot? It's a substitution for what? For bringing the korbanot per se. Okay, very nice reason. But there could be another reason. And that's the following. There's another Gemara that talks about the fact that we have to make sure that when we learn Torah, we don't just learn whatever we want. But beyond learning whatever we want, we have to make sure to divide our learning into three parts. What are the three parts? Shlish b'mikra. A third, learning the written Torah. Shlish b'mishnah, shlish b'gemara. Namely, a third, written Torah, a third, mishnah, which is concrete laws, and a third, the gemara, let's say. I'm not going to go into exactly what it means, but the bottom line is, how are you supposed to know that if it's your entire life How are you supposed to know how you're going to live? What are you going to do? You're going to say, okay, I'm going to live 120 years. So from now on, I'm going to divide up my life, 120 years divided by 3, or I'm going to live 90 years. So one of the Rishonim say, yeah, you have to divide your whole life. How you pull that one off, I don't know. But the Rambam and others say, no, you have to divide up your whole life. Case scenario, probability-wise, you'll live through the week. You have to divide up your week. And some say, no, divide up your day. Now, if you look into Korbanot, and if you look into what we do in the morning, that's exactly what we do. Look at the Siddur, do a little tally after we finish this year, and you'll see that we start out with a little psukim from the Torah, right? After Berkas HaTorah, what do you say? Yevarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, that's from the Torah. Then we say a little Mishnah, Elo Dvarim Shem Lehem Shiur, and then in the Korbanot, the same thing, there's psukim. First we talk about the Korban, first we talk about the Trumat Adeshen, that every day you have to take off a little ashes from the Mizbeach. Then we talk about the fact that you have to wash your hands before doing that. Actually, that's the first before the second. First wash your hands, then take off a little of the ashes. Then we talk about the Korban Tamit Shel Boker, Tamit Shel Shachar. And then we talk about Mishnahs and Gemaras in the Ketoret HaSamim that we say every morning. There's Mishnahs and Gemaras, and we end with Mishnahs. Ezu Mekom Anshel Zvachim. And finally, Rabbi Yishmael Omer, which is the way we deduce laws in the Gemara. So the bottom line is, if you follow the Siddur, every single day, you will inevitably fulfill what the Gemara says to divide up your day into three. And beyond that, you learn whatever you want. So we found two basic reasons why it's written in the Siddur. The first reason is a substitution for what? Korbanot. We can't bring them, so we say it. Second, dividing up your day into three in terms of learning Torah. A little bit written Torah, a little bit Mishnah, a little bit Gemara. So, if you say Korbanot, then you care about two things. First of all, you're probably a Zionist. You care about Israel. And secondly, you care about learning Torah. Very nice. Is there any ramification between the two? Or can we go back to the first reason? I said in the Siddur, what do I care? Is there any ramification between these two reasons? Or it's just a philosophical discussion we just had. Very nice, very beautiful. I'm just going to tomorrow ignore it, say it. Any ramification?
What do you mean by
what's ramification means, is there any practical difference between these two reasons in terms of the way we say it? So let me open up with the following. Suppose I came in here this morning. I sat in this chair, and I decided to give the shiur in German. Fluid German. How I would pull that off is beyond me. But suppose, let's just say, for case's sake of argument, I'm fluent in German. And I come here, and I start talking in German, and you're all looking at me. Would you invite me back the next week?
Maybe Ziggy would have a chance, right?
So beyond Ziggy, gentlemen, who else?
He would translate for us.
Justin also is speaking. We'd have to take a vote.
You have to take a vote. Can you teach Torah, learn Torah, and not understand what you say?
Yes.
There's a famous Gra. The Gra says that when it comes to the written Torah, then even if you just read the psukim, you don't understand the word you're saying because it has actual sanctity. It was dictated word for word, letter for letter by Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu. And even if you don't understand it, it's learning Torah. When it comes to the oral Torah, it can't be. Because the oral Torah, by definition, were written by human beings eventually. That's why it's called the oral Torah. It used to be oral, and now it's written. It's not exactly what God said. It was God meant. And therefore, you have to understand what you're learning. So Baruch Hashem, we have translations today of shapes, sorts, and sizes. If I gave this shiur 30 years ago, I would say this one's translation for the Gemara. Now there's three, thank God. And same thing with Mishnah and whatnot. If you learn Torah, you don't understand. You're not learning Torah. So if the reason for saying Korbanos is to learn Torah, you have to understand what you're saying. You can't just read it. There's psukim there, that's fine. But there's also Mishnahs and Gemaras. If you don't understand what it means when it says, Abaye Hayea Mesader Maarecha Mashba de Gemara Valiba de Abba Shaul, and you don't know what the Maarecha is, and you don't know who these people are, and then at the end of it, it says, Alea Hashlem Kol Korbanot Kulam, that the Korbanot were sandwiched between the Tamid Shel Shachar in the morning and the Tamid Shel Ben Arabayim in the afternoon. And you don't know what you're saying. From your perspective, you could be saying, may everyone drop dead, may everyone go jump in a lake, may everyone go and everyone's a moron. Amen. You didn't learn Torah. You have to understand when you learn the oral Torah what you're saying. On the other hand, if the whole reason is a substitution for bringing korbanot, you have to understand what you're saying. No, you just have to say it. You just have to say it. I would assume that if you're actually bringing the korbanot, you should know what you're doing, because many different things would invalidate the work of the korbanot. But if you have, all you have to do is say the words, I said the words, I substituted for the korbanot, let's move on. What did I say? I don't know. But I said what I was supposed to say. So there is a ramification between these two reasons. Do you have to understand what you say, or you just have to say it?
Is that a plug for art school?
Hmm?
Is that a plug?
I am not under any circumstances going to make this shiur into in any which way, shape, or form a commercial for any of the translations. You use a translation that's good for you.
Right.
And there's many out there, and I am not getting stuck into which is better. But the bottom line is, if it's learning Torah, you have to understand. And if it's just substituting for korbanot, you don't. Let's go on to nafkamina number two. So we said it's either in place of korbanot, or it's instead of, or it's to learn Torah properly. Do women have to say korbanot?
No.
Everyone agrees? No. What is that? Like the default women don't have to do it. Gentlemen, let's think about this halachically. If it's learning Torah, you have to divide your day into three. A little Torah Shebichtav, a little Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal divides into two. Do women have to learn Torah?
Time bound. So no.
Time bound? It's every day. It's not time bound. It's every day. Korbanot, every day you say it. Not time bound. No. You can't get out of it with the time bound thing. Gentlemen, are women chayev to learn Torah?
Well, it depends what's Torah.
Women are not chayevet to learn Torah. They're chayevet perhaps to learn Torah at a certain level to know how to live as a Jew. We encourage women today, and I'm one of them, to learn as much Torah as possible. But to say they're obligated, no, they're not obligated. Therefore, and I'll just put this into parentheses, it's a big question, how come women say Birkas HaTorah every day? And even the Shulchan Aruch, Rav Yosef Karo, who says women do not make brachot on time-bound commandments that they're not obligated in, simply because if they do so, they're probably liars. Our Sheikh Kiddishanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivan, you have commanded us to, Sheikh Alulov, to sit in the sukkah. They're not obligated. So how can you say those words? The Shulchan Aruch says not to. All of a sudden, by Birkas HaTorah, he says, they are chayevet. And we all know women don't have to learn Torah, so how come? Big debate. We once gave a lot of classes on it. Close the parentheses. If they're not chayevet to learn Torah at the level that men are, then obviously they don't have to divide their day into three, or their week into three, and therefore they probably wouldn't have to say korbanot. But if the whole reason is a substitution for the actual bringing of korbanot, which ensures us living in the land of Israel, shouldn't women be as concerned about that as men? 100%! And therefore they would have to say korbanot. So we found two ramifications. One, do you have to understand the korbanot? Number two, are women obligated to say it? And let's just end the shiur with one more. Let's say, forget about the Hebrew, you say it in English. Can you say the korbanot in English? So if it's in substitution of bringing the korbanot, what do you say? Not so sure. See, if it's learning Torah, you can learn Torah in many different languages. Baruch Hashem. You can learn Torah in English, you can learn Torah in German, and as long as you understand what you're learning, that's great. But if it's in place of bringing the korbanot, perhaps God said you have to follow exactly the way I said it, and the way the sages formulated it. And as you know, translations by shapes, sorts, and sizes have a certain problem with them. What's the problem with translations? They may not exactly be accurate. I'll give you an example. Perhaps this one would surprise you. It says in the Holy Torah, "Lo ta'aseh kol melacha," with regard to Shabbos. Translate those words into English. You're writing a translation now of one of the companies that do translations. You shouldn't do any work. Is that accurate?
No.
Excuse me for saying so. 100% false. How do I know? How many times have a Jew come up to you and said, "Rabbi, putting on a light, shutting off a light, that's not work. But if I take this chair that I'm sitting on, I go up and down the steps the whole Shabbos, that's work." Now go explain to him, you can go up and down the steps in your house and it's no problem halachically, there's no problem of carrying, there's no problem of muktzah, nothing. And go explain, if you put on the light, it's an isser on Shabbos. Now, can you blame the fine gentleman? No. Because in the translations it says, Lo ta'aseh kol malacha, you shall do no work. What does the word malacha mean?
Creative labor.
Creative labor? Pretty good for most of them. Let's say 38 out of the 39 of the malacha that can get it. There's one malacha that just doesn't fit into that category. Which one is it? Creative labor, carrying. I put a key in my pocket, there's no way. If I walk out into the Rishut HaRabim, into the public domain, I come into the Rishut HaYachid, am I doing anything creative?
No.
The key remains the key. So I'm not sure we can use that. If you wanted to translate accurately the words, Lo ta'aseh kol malacha, this is what it would do. On the right side it would say, Lo ta'aseh kol malacha, and on the left side it would say like this, and you shall not do any. One. Threshing, two, planting, three, cooking, four, carrying, five. You'd have to have 39 lines for the word melacha. One word melacha equals 39 lines. So what did the translations do? We're going to waste all this time. Work! And look what damage they did. Look what damage was done. Damage was done. People say, putting on a switch is not work. Carrying is not work. Going up and down the steps, that's work. So I'll tell you what, I won't go to shul because walking to shul is a lot of energy, that's work. But I'll put on the lights and the TV because that's not work. Remote control, on and off. Damage number one. And I can go on and on with examples. But the problem with translations many a times is that they're not accurate. So if we have to accurately bring korbanot, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, so we have to accurately say the korbanot, you have to be accurate. If you have to be accurate, maybe you should stay away from the translations because who knows what they say. They can say Ola. Ola means a burnt offering, right? Not exactly. Most of it is burnt. Most of it is burnt. Chatat. How would you explain chatat?
Sin offering.
Sin offering. What, every sin you bring a sin offering? No. A chatat is only brought on a sin that if you did it on purpose, there's karet. Such as eating chametz on Pesach. Such as doing a malach on Shabbos or Yom Kippur, eating on Yom Kippur, etc. Not on every Avera. If I eat pig, I don't bring a Korban Chatat. If I eat pig by mistake, I don't bring a Korban Chatat. That's only a lav. I say only a lav, but it's only a lav. If I eat a nevela, if I eat a trefa, you don't bring a Korban Chatat. So it's very difficult with translations to say it properly. So I would say the third nafkamina would be, do you say it in Hebrew, or do you say it in translation? If you have to understand it, better to say it in English, or any other language you understand. And if, on the other hand, it's a substitution for bringing korbanot, you should be as accurate as possible, because you can make mistakes. You can make mistakes. You could say things that are not written. Shlamim, a peace offering. Where did that come up with? What do you mean a peace offering? A shlamim is an offering that part of it's put on the mizbeach, part of it's given to the kohanim, part of it is eaten by the actual person that brought it.
P-I-E-C-E.
Peace. Nice. The different peace. Not the peace in terms of the peace we don't have with the Palestinians, but peace in terms of give me a piece of cake. Could be. Could be. A peace offering. But then you would have to say a thrice peace offering. Third here, third there. Hard to translate. So we found three nafgaminas today. Why do we say korbanos in the morning, learning Torah, or substitution for korbanos? And we found three nafkaminas. What were they?
Women. Translation.
Translation, and most importantly, do you have to understand what you said? Bruce, question.
It's really a comment. In terms of the translations, even when you know exactly what you mean when you say the word in Hebrew, for example, say you're a native Hebrew speaker, like in English, if there's a penalty in America, a death for murder, and then someone says to you, well, what do you mean by murder? You have to explain. First degree, second degree, third degree, intentional, you know, there's, when we say it in English, we know exactly what we mean. It still requires explanation.
Correct.
So the same is true for the word in Hebrew.
Correct.
And therefore the translation, simply, you put it in the language that people understand at least what it refers. And you ask, well, what does that mean?
That's, I agree with you 100%. I agree with you 100%.
At least in English, if you don't know what Hebrew means, I'm not sure there's any value to say what you have no clue what you just said, versus you have an idea, and then someone says, well, explain it further.
Well, I have to agree with you halfway. If indeed it's in English and you understand approximately what it means, then for learning Torah purposes, you understand approximately
there's
sacrifices. But if it's in substitution of korbanot, then quite frankly, I think there is virtue to saying it, because you're saying what you're supposed to say. As to what you're saying, I don't know. But I'm saying what I'm supposed to say. In other words, I'm doing what a Jew is supposed to do. Many Jews say Kiddush Friday night because that's what Jews are supposed to do. They don't know what they're saying. They don't know why the cup of wine is there. They don't know why it's picked up. We can talk about all these things. But the bottom line is, they're doing what Jews are supposed to do. There's value and virtue to that. Many people don't understand what's in the tefillin, but they wear tefillin every day, and there's virtue to the actual action.
Well, they have to even know that. I mean, a person says Kiddush. Why did you do that? I don't know. My father did it.
Fine.
A minute? No, not a clue.
Is it? Is it ideal? The answer is no, it's not ideal. Is there virtue to that? Absolutely, there's virtue to the actual action being done. And then by learning Torah, as time goes on, it becomes enhanced. But that's only if you say there's virtue to the actual action. Like I say by Korbanot, there's virtue to the actual saying, recitation of. But if the idea is to learn Torah, then you're not learning Torah if you don't have a clue of what you're saying. But gentlemen, I'll just add one more nafkamina. At the end of the Korbanos, before the Ezu Mekoman, there's a Ribono Olamim, or Ribono Shel Olam. It says, you commanded us to bring the Korbanos, and the Kohen brought the Korban, the Levi said the Shir Shel Yom, and then the Yisrael was davening that the Korban should be accepted before God. Now we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, so please accept our recitation. That whole prayer, in which direction is it taking us? Learning Torah or recitation and substitution of bringing the Korban? Substitution. In the Ezehu Mekoman part, after you say certain parts of it, it says, Yiratzon milfanecha, may it be God your will, ki ilu ikraf the Hashem, as if I brought the Hashem, as if I brought the Chatat. Well, that's assuming what? That is a substitution for bringing Korbanos. But if you assume it's not a substitution for bringing Korbanos, it's actually learning Torah, then I don't have to say the Yiratzon. I'm just learning Torah. I have to understand what I said, as I said earlier, but it's just learning Torah. Let's add one more nafkamina. Gentlemen, this is Bruce's nafkamina. If it's substitution of korbanos, you brought korbanos at Shachris, and you ended with mincha. As I said earlier, the Torah says, there's an asei, a mitzvah asei called asei dahashlama. Namely, you have to sandwich all the korbanot of the day, with the exception of korban Pesach, between the tamit shel shachar and tamit shel ben arbaim. So you brought the Talmud Shel Shachar, then a guy comes and says, I put on a light on Shabbos, a regular bowl by mistake, I didn't remember it was Shabbos, he brings a Korban Chatat. Then a guy comes in and says, I almost killed myself, so I want to bring a Korban Todah. Then another guy comes out and says, my wife just gave birth, and here's my wife, and we're bringing a Korban Yoledet. And all that happens during the day, and if it's not a slow day, or it is a slow day, depending, then they, at the end of the business ending, what would they do? They would bring the Korban Talmud Shel Ben Arbaim. So they would bring korbanos basically all day. If it was a slow day, then maybe by mincha gdola they called it quits. But it was not such a slow day, mincha ktana. Most of the days it was mincha ktana, and we won't go into when it was mincha gdola. So says Bruce, if it's a substitution for korbanot, you have to say korbanot at shachris and at mincha. All day was full of korbanot. But if it's just to make sure that you learn Torah divided by three, then once a day is good enough. I divide it by three for today. The rest of the day, I'm scot-free. I'll learn whatever I want. Very good nafkamina, Bruce. Thank you. Ultimately, we brought not one, not two, not three, not four, but five nafkaminas with the help of Bruce. Number one is, do you have to understand it? Number two is, are women obligated? Number three, translation. Number four, do you say it at mincha? And finally, do you say the Yehi Ratzon Ki Ilu Ikrav Dichatat after the Ezu Mekoman? So to make a long story short, Korbanot actually is in the Siddur, and therefore you should say it. I don't know why people don't. We found two reasons today why, either learning Torah properly, dividing it into three, or substitution for bringing Korbanot, and we found ramifications. In conclusion, allow me to quote Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah is written in the back of the Vilna Shas on Masechet Brachot, as a perush on the reef. Usually you have the Ran as a perush on the reef. Here you have Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah has a cryptic line in which he says that something about Kriyat Shema, it's the Oraisa, just like saying Korbanot. I repeat, Kriyat Shema is the Oraisa, just like saying Korbanot. If I would write to Rabbeinu Yonah and I'd have this idea that saying Korbanot is the Oraisa, I probably would have said, saying Korbanot is the Oraisa, just like Kriyat Shema. Everyone knows Kriyat Shema is the Oraisa, but he says the opposite. Now, how does he come off saying that? So we started with this, and with this we conclude. The last daf in Masechet Menachot, mamash, the last daf in Masechet Menachot, daf Kuf Yud, Amud Aleph, says that, how do you know that this trick works? That if you say it, it's like bringing it when you don't have a Beis HaMikdash, or at least a substitute for it. You know, a substitute teacher can never be like the real teacher, but it's what we got. The Gemara quotes a pasuk. Now, when Gemaras quote psukim, it's either an asmachta, meaning it's really the Rabbanan, but they quote a pasuk to anchor it. Or it might be Doraisa. The pasuk does say, V'zot ha-Torah la'ola v'la'mincha v'la'chatat. Zot Torah ha-chatat v'zot Torah ha-sham kol ha-osek b'torat chatat ki ilu ikriv chatat. V'chol ha-osek b'torat ha-sham ki ilu ikriv ha-sham. That's what the Gemara says, learned out from the pasuk. It says, Zot ha-Torah. I understand, Rabbeinu Yonah, learned out from a pasuk. So next time you look at the korbanos in the Siddur, please ask yourself one question. Why is it there? And forget about this whole shir. Just remember the Rabbeinu Yonah, who says, it is, Kriyat Shema is as the oraisa as saying the korbanot. And if that's the case, hopefully you could say it. Now, if you get to davening late, you could say it after davening. I give that heter. That's okay. If you got the davening late, don't skip the korban. Oh, I don't have to say it today. It's not like Pesukei Dezimra. It's independent. You could say it after davening. Some people say it at Shachris and at Mincha. So, if you didn't say it at Shachris, say it at Mincha if you don't want to say it at both. But korbanot is very important. Learned out from a pasuk, and Rabbeinu Yonah says that Kriyat Shema is on the same level of korbanot. Not opposite. And with that, we conclude.